Okay, good evening. Fighting a little bit of a cold here. We'll see how well this goes. We're starting book four. We'll go through from Psalm 90 to Psalm 100, God willing. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd hold my symptoms at bay and I'd be able to get through this without being too much of a distraction. And bless the word, Lord, again. We just want to draw closer to you and know you better through this wonderful hymn book of Psalms, in Jesus' name. Okay, Psalm 90. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. It's one of the few in this section that has an author that we know. Obviously, the Psalms aren't written in any kind of chronological order. This would be first. Okay. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. We're told elsewhere the 1,000 years of the Lord is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. This gives rise to the idea that, there'll be 6,000 years of, I don't know, existence, and then followed by the 1,000 year of the kingdom age. Like that would be the Sabbath of the week of 1,000 years. I believe that. This verse doesn't really say it as crisp as perhaps we would like, but for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. I think what it's telling us is God's outside of time. Thou carriest them away with the flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath, and are By thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. That reminds us of that Shakespeare line, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps forth this petty pace, tale that is told. It's like, I don't know the exact, I quote it for you. Look it up, it's in Hamlet. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength there be 80 years, or reason of modern medicine and diet, I don't know. I think we're living longer than 70 years. I think the average life expectancy of a man is 76. During the time of COVID, it's gone down. I don't want to make any political statements other than I think they've never botched anything. The government and the medical have never botched anything better than they botched COVID. Our life expectancy is less than the life expectancy of a man in Cuba now. Incredible. Anyway. So the days of our years are 80 years and 10, 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So we got anger and wrath all through this. You wonder. Moses saw God's wrath flare up first to Pharaoh and then very often to the children of Israel and their unfaithfulness in the wilderness. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days when thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord and God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Okay, Psalm 9, and that's the only psalm we have by Moses that we know of. I mean, is there one here that author unknown that Moses wrote? Well, if it's author unknown, we wouldn't know it. There are psalms that David wrote that it doesn't say here, but they're in the New Testament. They're accredited to David. As that's possible, that's true of Moses, but we don't know it. Psalm 91, it's a psalm, it's kind of about the dangers of life. If I were giving a title, I'd call it Shelter. On my Bible, over the top of it, it says God is a refuge and a fortress. Psalm 91 is many people's favorite psalm. It's one of my favorites. It doesn't need much commentary, though. He that dwelleth in the secret, and you'll recognize it. If you don't know what Psalm 91 means, you'll recognize you've heard it. And there's many contemporary worship songs that kind of refer to it, or quote it, or that the song is based on this psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Pestilence here, read, pandemic. I mean, if you want to read it that way. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. It seems like every time you talk about taking God's word literally, someone will bring up, oh, so you think God has feathers? I always feel like saying, no, but I do think you're an idiot. It's obviously figurative language, or it may refer to the cherubim and their feathers. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, making reference to the Ark of the Covenant. Or is it just figurative language? Jesus said, I would, you know, Jerusalem, I would gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. It's a like, it's an assimile, it's a metaphor. This is what I would like to do. Is Jesus a chicken, a bird? No, he's not. It's just idiomatic language. We say things like, we use idioms all the time. People understand what we're talking about. No, God doesn't have wings and feathers. That doesn't mean that, you know, I get kind of like frustrated with people. Like, just, they think like, oh, well, see, I've proven something. You've proved that you're not very bright is what you've proven. He shall cover thee with his feather, and on his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh on thee. It almost sounds like you're in the middle of a battle, because you are. We're in a spiritual battle only all the time. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Satan famously misquotes this verse when he's tempting Jesus in the wilderness, as is given to us in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. He shall give his angels charge over thee, lest they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. What he conveniently left out is to keep thee in all thy ways. God won't protect us in our ways. He'll protect us in his ways. And that's very important to know. It's also very important to know that Satan knows Scripture. We have to know it better. We have to stand on the Word of God. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. What are you treading on? The adder, the young lion, and the dragon. All metaphors, all symbols of Satan. Does God give us power over Satan? Yeah, only all the time. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because he hath set his love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. A beautiful psalm of protection, to be sure. We can rely on God. Like I say, it doesn't need much commentary. It's just pretty straightforward. Okay, Psalm 92, it's a Sabbath psalm, and it says so, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. The author is unknown. I would call this Palm Tree if I were giving it a name. Let's read it together, Psalm 92. I'm sorry, I'm very drippy here. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Kind of reminds us of Psalm 1, does it not? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Okay, Psalm 93, and I think Psalm 93 through 100 are all millennial. This has to do with the kingdom. The majority of what's called Christendom doesn't believe in the kingdom age. It's funny because I've said before, when they're praying the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, I don't know what they're praying. You should ask somebody who doesn't believe, who's amillennial, what they're praying. Jesus' disciples were very excited about the kingdom. Are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? He's saying, well, that was just the monarchy. That was all that was. They understood something that many Christian churches don't understand today. There's a long reign of Christ predicted in the Old Testament. They didn't know it was 1,000 years. You have to get to Revelation chapter 20, where, by the way, it mentions 1,000 years 6 times. If Jesus wanted to tell us that he's going to come back to earth and rule and reign for 1,000 years, how else would he say it? If you read Revelation chapter 20, it's pretty straightforward, unless you've already got a predisposition to not believe. Without that predisposition, anyone would look at Revelation 20 and conclude that Jesus is going to come back and reign on the earth 1,000 years. It says it is, it's very straightforward language. Okay, Psalm 93, it's very short. It's only 5 verses. The Lord is clothed with majesty. It says again, over my, but that's not biblical, of course. That's just the editor's note. Okay, the Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty, the Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established and cannot be moved. So God's reigning, but it's mentioned the world. I think he's reigning on the earth. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waters of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Pretty short. Just praise and, to the majesty of God. Okay, Psalm 94, again, the author's unknown, as he was unknown in Psalm 92, 93, oh, 91 for that matter, 94. The author's unknown. This is about judgment of God. I would call it vengeance. Over my Bible, it says, how long shall the wicked triumph? And that's always a problem when we see bad men, and I don't have to name any of them. You know all the names as well as I do. Bad men reigning, and you wonder how are they getting away with it. In Romans 9 tomorrow, I plan on answering that among other things. It's what's up next. Okay, Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. You know, Scripture doesn't say that vengeance is wrong. It just says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So we give God a chance to be God, and we don't step into his place and try to requite, payment for and be judgmental. We requite good for evil. That's what we're called to do. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. How long, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Kind of reminds us of Hebrews. I think it's chapter 12 there, talking about God chastising every son. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of men, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. I'm sorry, I've read that already. O Lord, and teachest him out of law, that thou mayest giveth him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return upon righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Okay, Psalm 95, again, is author unknown. Again, I think it's millennial. You can judge for yourself as we go through. It's a psalm of praise to the great God. Again, I'm just reading what the author of this Bible has said. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Oh, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. So he doesn't have to physically be reigning on earth for this to be true. But I think it kind of loans itself to that. I think he is. Because it says, like in verse 4, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his alone. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Physically, go to God and kneel before him. You say, well, I can do that now. Yeah, and I think it's also, and I would say do that, but I think it's talking about the time when he's physically reigning here on earth. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Is he connecting the rest that they wouldn't enter into, the Sabbath rest that is the millennial kingdom? I think this it's a obvious connect the dots. Okay, Psalm 96, author unknown again. Again, I think the rest of these, 96, 7, 8, 9, and 100, are all kingdom psalms. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among all the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You say, well, obviously, that wouldn't be millennial because it mentions offerings. Offerings will be restored in the millennial kingdom. The book of the last 8 or 9 chapters of the book of Ezekiel clearly establishes that. If you argue the point, all you're telling me is, well, I've never read the last few chapters of Ezekiel. The question may be why, and that's a good question, but the fact that it's going to be established, there's no real debate there at all. It clearly says it in Ezekiel. I'm almost thinking it does in Zechariah as well, but I might be wrong about that. So bring an offering as you come into his courts. You say, well, that just could be an offering of praise. Yeah, but when we think offering, unless it mentions offering of praise, think offering in the sense of like a burnt offering or a fellowship offering or a peace offering. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. Say unto the heathen that the Lord reigneth, the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. That's why I think it's millennial, among other verses. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. We have rejoicing trees. You know, it says other places, let the, you know, the trees of the field clap their hands. Well, that's wonderful language, you say. That's very colorful. Well, it may be more literal than any of us think. I'm just saying, let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood rejoice. Remember, all creation's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So he's coming to earth to judge the world. Is he coming again? Yeah, we all know that. And then he sets up his kingdom, a place where fields are joyful, woods are rejoicing, and on it goes. If you read it with those glasses on, your kingdom glasses, I think you'll understand it better. Like this one, for instance, it's Psalm 97. The author's unknown. Again, I think it's millennial, and it's this. It's mentioned the judgment or the justice of God, and these are quoted. Several of these verses are quoted in 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 7 through 13; 2 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 12; Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. So this psalm is quoted often in the New Testament. Psalm 97. The Lord reigneth; let the earth rejoice; let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Why? Because Jesus has come back. He set up his kingdom. That's the reason for the joy. Clouds and darkness are round about him. His righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. So we have the Lord reigning from a throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. He that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. My phone's low on battery and it keeps wanting to cut out on me. Okay, Psalm 98, the author's unknown. Again, I think it's millennial. This is the psalm that Isaac Watts based Joy to the World on. You say, well, then it's not millennial. Joy to the World is about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's not about his first coming. We sing it as a Christmas song. I remember a pastor early on, still in the Marine Corps, he was mentioning that. It was the first time I'd heard that. And so we sang it at the end of the service. Well, we used the church, and the Catholics would come in and have their mass right after. And I mentioned that about him. I said, really, you know, we're singing this Christmas carol, and the Catholics. He goes, did you hear my sermon, didn't you? Did you hear what I said? I said, yeah, they did it, and they probably thinking we're a bunch of rubes. Anyway, that's beside the point. It's not a Christmas carol, though we sing it at Christmas, and I'm okay with that because I like to sing it, you know, as often as possible anyway. But if you think about it, joy to the earth, the Lord has come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And I can't think of all the words right off the top of my brain, but, you know, let heaven and earth rejoice. And all, you know, all that. He rules the world with righteousness. He rules the world with truth and grace. Let all the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. It's all about his, again. So we have floods clapping their hands, this one. Hills being joyful together. And seas are roaring again. Boy, I wonder what the kingdom is going to be like. We'll know soon enough, but not soon enough to suit me. Again, we'll see elements of Isaac Watts' Joy of the World as we go through this. It's called a psalm. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sounds of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. So many times through here we have that joyful noise. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Okay. I know I'm going right through these, but They kind of don't really need a lot of commentary, you know. It's just pretty straightforward stuff. Psalm 99. Again, the author's unknown. If I would put in a title of this, I'd call it Holy, Holy, Holy. I think it's another one about the kingdom age. Let's just jump right in. The Lord reigneth. And when we're talking about the Lord reigns, I think that's what it's referring to, is the millennial kingdom. People say, well, God reigns now. Yes. He reigns in the heart of his believers, not as perfectly, I think, as we would like. But it's talking about, you know, it's making reference to the earth, it's making reference to judgment. Look at back on Psalm 97, verse 5. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Why? Because he was physically there, I think, is the idea. Okay, Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. I think that the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, is his actual throne in the kingdom age. And I think this verse, among others, hints at it. I won't build a doctrine there, but I think that's what it's saying. The Lord is great in Zion. Every time it mentions Zion, I think it's talking about the kingdom. Prove me wrong. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. And by the way, only God's holy. I just went to Jerusalem. I just got back Thursday. You went to the Holy Land? You know, I know what you're saying, but I don't like phrases like that. It's not a holy land. Land isn't holy. It's set aside for God's purpose, so I understand, you know, that use of the word holy that way. Look at, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Well, God is holy. His name is holy. And on it goes. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou doth establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They call upon the Lord, and he answered them. You say, well, that's talking historically. Well, I don't think so. Remember, Moses and Aaron and Samuel will be resurrected at this time. They'll be part of the kingdom too. You remember, Jesus says that we're going to sit down at the dinner table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and ostensibly Moses and Aaron and Samuel and David, etc., etc., etc. They called upon the Lord. He answered them. He spake unto them. In the cloudy pillar they kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God, thou wast the God that forgavest them. Though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. What holy hill is that? It doesn't mention it. I think it's Zion, though, obviously. Well, obviously enough to me. Okay, Psalm 100, we'll finish this up. Maybe we'll get done a couple minutes early, which is good because I'm kind of leaking here. I took a Claritin, which I don't like to. I'm not a drug person. It usually stops me from, you know, my nose running like a faucet. I think it's a cold. Usually when I'm this anxious, it's like hay fever or whatever. Pollen or whatever it is that I'm allergic to. But of course, it's halfway through February. There's not a lot of pollen around or any ragweed or whatever. So I think I just got a cold, you know. And I think a part of that is because I was, you know, on an airplane 10 hours and then 11 hours and, you know, on a bus with people and, you know, things like that. I'm usually pretty, and I feel great, though, by the way. Just like I said, it's got a real runny nose. So if you'd pray for me, I think that would be great. Psalm 100, because I'm going to teach the Bible tomorrow, and I didn't ask anyone to do it. I'd be asking somebody on real short notice. But like I say, I feel fine, so if I take a Claritin or some antihistamine, I should be all right. Psalm 100, author unknown. Again, I think this is millennial. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, I would like to mention this, that our faith is a singing faith. We're not a singing culture, you know. The only time we sing together is take me out to the ballpark in the seventh inning stretch at Fenway or other ballparks around the league. You know, we may, at a sporting event, we may stand and sing the Star Spangled Banner, but we're not a singing culture. The Church of Jesus Christ is singing. We have something to sing about. We have a great God who has saved us, and we're admonished many times. I think, like, we'd be so, well, I'm not a singer, I don't sing. If you look at all those as commands, it's not really asking our opinion of how we feel about. And I'm not trying to be like beat up people on this point, but I want us to, well, I don't sing very well. People around me wouldn't like it, but it's calling us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I don't think perfect pitch is the idea. Most of us don't sing beautifully. Me, for instance, you could tell by the way I talk, I don't have a beautiful voice, but I hit the right notes generally. I did take music, I did take piano lessons as an adult, and I read music, but I don't think it, like if I was singing a choir, I don't think I heard it too much, but if I were to sing solo, it's, like I say, hit the right notes, but it's not a beautiful voice. But I don't care, because that's not what it's about. It's about praising the Lord. It's about letting the Lord know that I love him. It's about pouring out my heart like a songbird. And very, very often, we're calling to make a noise, a joyful noise in the Lord, all ye lands. We're supposed to sing to the Lord. It says it over and over again. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Okay, we'll leave it there. I'm probably getting low on Kleenex anyway. If there's a national Kleenex shortage, I know who they're going to blame. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're going to come back to this earth, judge the wicked, and set up your kingdom where all things will be good all the time. Lord, it can't happen soon enough to suit us. May that day come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for these psalms, that we might know you better. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, grace and peace.